time am I supposed to speak until? Right, that's going to happen. Okay, I'm going to sit down here. Hi, I'm an alcoholic and my name is Samantha. And really glad to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, so thank you for having me here. And my home group is called Up the Tubes, and it's a Wednesday night meeting in Alexandria, Virginia at 8:30. I do have a sponsor, and my sobriety date is May 25th, 1999. And where I come from, I think, and I've been to a speaker's meeting last night, and or a leading meeting or what have you, and typically people share their stories. Is that how you do it here too? Okay. So all I have to really offer is my experience. So I grew up in sort of like a middle class, traditional American suburban family. And not a lot of drinking or anything, but there was a lot of dysfunction in my family. And I was the one who was very rebellious, and I started drinking, I don't know, I was always wanting my dad's beer. My dad always had beer in this pretty mug, and he was a really cool person. I thought, you know, when you're little, your parents are like your first higher power, you know. And so I always wanted to sit down with my dad and have popcorn and beer and watch TV with them, you know. So I would just always have like a few sips of his beer, and I don't think that's what made me an alcoholic, though. I think I remember I had some friends over one time, and this girl was such a bad influence. You know, it's all her fault. I should just blame her. But, you know, I had this slumber party, I guess, and we were probably, you know, fifth or sixth grade or something, and we got into my parents' liquor cabinet in there, antique china cabinet, you know, down in the back somewhere, and I got some whiskey out, and we all got pretty drunk. It was fun. And then, you know, after that, it was just kind of like, oh, this is fun, you know. And I remember one time I drank a glass of wine or something like that, and I felt set free. I feel like I could just be myself. I felt like I could do whatever I wanted to do. I felt like I could be whatever I want to be and do whatever I want to do, and I could just let myself be myself, whether it was silly, funny, crazy, wild, angry, whatever it was. I could just be that. I had an excuse. I don't know why that made sense to me, but it just did. I had an excuse to be myself. And so when I drank, you know, that's who I was, and it's been a really hard journey finding out who I am and being who I am and true to myself without having that drink. I find it's very hard for me to have fun. So that kind of started my drinking life, and drugs are also part of my story. I started smoking pot and, you know, just doing whatever I really could, because, you know, I don't know what the drinking age is here, but there it's 21, and so if you need some sort of something to alter your mood, you're not old enough to get, you know, alcohol, so you got to just find other ways, and drugs are pretty easy to get, so I got into that. I ended up dropping out of high school. And I got into, you know, abusive relationships with men at a very early age. And, you know, and all this time I'm just drinking. And it was just a way of life for me. I just always wanted it, you know, no matter. I mean, I used to show up at school. My sister had a little boy, and, you know, those sippy cups, they like little plastic cups, and then when they get older you can take the lid off of it, but in the beginning they have a lid and then just a little like sippy thing, and I thought that was a neat way for me to take it without being able, without spilling it, and without anybody smelling it, without anybody knowing. And so I would take whiskey to school with me, and then I would trick people. I remember there was this kid sitting in front of me. He was like a jock, you know, and I was like, you know, here, have some of this, you know. And he was like, what's that? Well, it's just, you know, Coke or something, you know. And so he was very surprised. I thought, you know, that I was very cool. You know, I thought that I was very cool that I was drinking and bringing alcohol to school and just, you know, really rebellious, you know. So this rebellious, cool person ended up dropping out of school and, you know, getting in abusive relationships. And so I ended up having a child. I have a 9-year-old son now, and he's amazing. He's my little angel. And so I miraculously, without AA, stayed sober while I was pregnant and during the first 6 months that my son was alive. And then I got out of this abusive relationship with his father, and I got my life back. And I started going out with my friends again, and I started partying again. And you know, soon enough, I was back off where I stopped, and I kept going, and I didn't want to stop, and it just got real bad. You know, next couple years, I just really took off to the races. I ended up leaving him with my mom and skipping town, and it wasn't fun anymore. I was, like, on the street. I wasn't, like, you know, I told myself because I wasn't smoking crack that I wasn't a drug addict and I didn't have a problem. And because I wasn't, if I smoked crack or shot heroin, I knew I would die. And I didn't want to die. I just wanted to be cool. You know, I just wanted to be able to be myself. I just wanted to not feel lonely anymore. And so, you know, that's the things that I told myself, that I was living. You know, I would go to the beach. I was kind of a beach bum on the East Coast beaches, hitting Bike Week. I don't know if you have heard of Bike Week, Harley-Davidson, mm-hmm. bike rallies, and work in the bars. And, you know, I thought I was having fun. I thought it was cool, you know. And then the lifestyle just got away from me. And by the end of it, I was in some hotel room in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I was very toxic, and I mean, like, I was, nobody was home. There was nobody home in my brain. It was just this guy that I was with, you know, he was a fugitive from the law. He'd been in jail, like, 100 times, you know, and he didn't really know what to do with me, and I couldn't take care of myself, and I couldn't stop drinking, I couldn't stop doing drugs, and I didn't really know how to stop doing it. I just kind of in the back of my mind knew that it wasn't good what I was doing, and I always had this dream that I was going to get married, and I was going to have this great father for my son, and we're going to have a house, and, you know, I was going to go to school, and I was going to get a great job, and, like, you know, the whole thing. And, you know, that wasn't happening. That wasn't happening for me. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, one day I really hit bottom. I was I just couldn't control, this sounds kind of bad, but, you know, if you're anything like me, I couldn't control my bowel movements. I couldn't control my functioning. I was waking up, you know, shaking and the cold sweats, and I was drinking a bottle of NyQuil before I went to bed just to help me go to sleep because I couldn't pass out anymore, like, as insomnia, and it was just really messed up. So I ended up, I believe, by my higher power, getting carried home, and my parents took me in, which is amazing because me and this fugitive, cool boyfriend, rebellious boyfriend that I had, we stole everything from them. You know, we took their credit cards and stole my mother's, you know, jewelry, I mean, everything. And, you know, I loved him, and so it was okay, you know, and they owed me because that my bitch of a mother, it's her fault that I am the way that I am. And so I had all these entitlement things around, you know, stealing from them. And, you know, it's not true. I'm not entitled to that stuff. you know. Today, I live there. I live with my parents. They let me back, you know. It's amazing. I have a key to their house now, and it's not the greatest experience living with my folks again, but, you know, it's really cool that I've been sober long enough now that, you know, I have a pretty, I'm very responsible now, actually. And so, at any rate, I came back to Virginia, like right outside of D.C., and I was, like, not wanting to kill myself, and I didn't know that I was detoxing. I didn't know what I was suffering from. I just thought that I was going crazy, and I thought that I was going to die or just live my whole life just being crazy, like I don't, like a bad trip, like a bad acid trip, and I was never going to come back. But I didn't know what I was suffering from. You know, I thought I was just going crazy. And so anyway, I ended up getting to some doctors, and they told me what was going on, and then they, I had to wait. I was detoxing in my parents' house, and they had to wait for a bed for detox, which I just think is insane. But, I mean, what's the point of waiting for a bed for detox when you're in the middle of detoxing? It just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so I ended up getting just detox and never even going to detox because the bed never opened, and I was already a week, you know, just a couple days. Anyway, we called the emergency room because I was talking, I was mumbling around the house, crying hysterically, talking about maybe killing myself because I couldn't live like this anymore. And, you know, I was trying to stop doing the drugs and the alcohol. And I was at the point where if I took one little sip of alcohol, it was like gone, you know. Like for a while there was like I would drink and drink and drink and nothing would happen. But then it's like, it totally, my body just started rejecting everything. So anyway, they said, well, why don't you go to an AA meeting? And I said, okay, well, what's that? Okay, I'll go. As long as it's not a psychiatric hospital, okay. You know, and so so I went. I called Inner Group, and this man, Alan Haynes, answered the phone, and his home group was a block down the road from my parents' house, and it was a step meeting. And so I went, and I showed up there, and I was very thin, and I had, like, black, like, shadows under my eyes, and I was shaking really bad, and they were all really nice to me. And I didn't know them, and I just, I didn't really feel like it deserved for people to be nice to me. And the funny thing was everybody was, like, laughing. Hey, how you doing? It's so good to see you, you know. Like, and I was like, you know, what's so great about being in an AA meeting, you know? Like, this, I was like, what's so funny, you know? Like, but it was attractive, you know. I wanted it. I wanted to be a part of that. And I thought it was really nice that they were so welcoming to me, you know. And so I went, and they ended up doing the first step because this person, Alan, told everybody that it was my first meeting. And it was like I was listening, and I was shaking so bad. This person next to me had to hold, Alan held my coffee for me or my water, whatever, because I, like, couldn't sit still. And I was like, how do all these people know what I've been through? How do they all know what I've been doing? Because they were all sharing about the first step. I was like, how do they know? You know, and it was like I came home because I had people to relate to. And because, you know, when we're out there, we don't talk about our feelings and, like, what's going on and how this, like, this is killing us. Like, if I take one more line, I swear this is going to push me over the edge. I'm going to die. You know, I'm just going to die right here and, you know, whatever. And, you know, we don't talk about that with our using buddies, you know, with our drinking buddies. We don't really talk about that. We talk about how much we drank and how, you know, how cool that is and drinking each other under the table and whatnot, you know. So, anyway, I hooked up with AA, and I stayed on with AA just ever since, basically. That was 7 years ago, June 5th was that day, and I stayed sober 11 and a half months, and I drank. But I got real involved with AA, like, that day, I mean, I was ready. I was desperate for a change. I was desperate to get help. You know, I'm really glad that nobody tried to force it on me when I was any younger, because I don't think I would have accepted it. You know, I don't think I would have said, oh, okay, yeah, this is really going to help me. You know, I would probably have been like, yeah, screw this, you know. But I was 20 when I came into the program, and I was a full-blown alcoholic before I was even old enough to drink. But, you know, I had something happen, and I kind of, my first sponsor was like my first higher power, and she was leaving for Africa, and then I got into this relationship, and I cheated on him, and so all my, you know, friends in AA, I thought they like disowned me because I did this horrible thing to one of our other friends in the program, and so, you know, I started hanging out with people that I worked with, people who weren't in the program, who went out drinking like all the time. And so one day, after not being to a meeting in about a week and not having a sponsor, I was like, you know, well, sure, I'll go out with you, you know, why not? And then, like, you know, the plan was that I was going to, we were going to go have a drink, then we were going to go have dinner, and then go change, and then go out to a club or something. And I had worked all day, hadn't eaten anything all day, I work in a real fast-paced place, and I was really looking forward to eating because I was hungry. But then after I had that first drink, I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to do anything but go to the wherever and just drink more. Like, I didn't care. And I ditched a friend that we were going to go to a 10 o'clock meeting, and I ditched her, my roommate. And I came home, and I had a drink, and, you know, because they were like, no, we're still going to do the same plan. And I was like, you know, why do we need to go eat and change our clothes? Why don't we just go drink? You know, who cares? And they were like, no, you know, and my friend got all mad at me. And so anyway, I'm sharing that because, you know, for a long time, I think I was sober for about 3 years. So about 3 years ago, I had a turning point in my sobriety where I was like, you know, am I really an alcoholic? Like, what am I doing here? You know, because it was where I'm from, the AA is so rich. There's so much AA where I'm from. It's amazing. And so you get this big social life out of it, you know. And so I was wondering, you know, like, what am I about? Am I really an alcoholic? Do I really need to be here? I came in when I was so young, you know. Do I really need this? And why am I here, you know? And I found somebody who showed me how to read the big book, because on my own, like, I just didn't get it. And it's very clear-cut directions on how to do this thing. Very clear-cut directions from, you know, page one, from I shared about that because I had to look back at my drinking history and find out, you know, like, I read the big book and I turned every question or every sentence into a question. Is this me? You know, am I like this? Like, and more about alcoholism and a lot of different chapters before it talks about the third step, there's a lot of things that say this is what alcoholism is. And it's basically saying the same thing over and over again, just different ways, you know. And I really had another first step experience at, you know, 2.5, 3 years sober, where I looked back at my drinking history and I was like, you know, that night that I relapsed was like, you know, I had 11.5 months sober. It was like, well, there's no reason for me to drink. I was getting my life back together. You know, I had a job that I had for about 10 months, you know, 9 months or something, you know. I mean, everything was going good. All arrows pointed towards, no, don't drink, you know, and I did it anyway. It was just like, and then I got home from that experience. I was like, how did this happen? You know, how, it's like it talks about in the big book where he's like, you know, banging on the bar, like, how am I drunk again, you know? And, like, that was me. I was, like, crying in my room. Like, I can't believe it. Like, I had all this sober time. And then I'm just, like, you know, I just drank, you know, for no apparent reason. I wasn't, like, you know, like, really mad or anything. I was just. So, anyway, that's what alcoholism is this, like, obsession you know, that's like beyond our control. You know, that's step one, powerlessness, you know. So then when I realized that, I wanted to go to step two. And it was really cool what I like about step two in the big book and We Agnostics. You know, we don't have to consider another conception's higher power. You know, we don't have to consider that. It doesn't really matter what we believe for our higher power. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't even really talk about it in the meeting, what our higher power is. You know, what's important is that we have a higher power, you know. And then it was really cool because I just wrote down on a piece of paper everything that I wanted my higher power to be. And when I realized I could do that, I was like a little kid in a candy store. I was like, I want my higher power to be this and this and this, you know. And and then I had like, you know, two pages front and back of all these characteristics, you know. And then it says, you know, what was our choice to be? Is God everything or is God nothing? You know, and I looked at it, and the person taking me through the steps was like, you know, what do you think? Is God everything or is God nothing? You know, and I was like, I mean, it's just a really powerful experience, you know. So then I continued on with all the rest of the steps, fourth step, and the fourth step is, and the fourth step is where I think I got like my first dose of humility as far as my character is concerned, because I always was a victim, you know, and it talks about in the fourth step in the big book about, you know, like that blaming others was as far as most of us ever got, you know. And until we could look at the other side of things, like what our part was, you know, we were never going to get, you know, that humility. And I really wanted that. I really wanted that. I was like really testing AA to see if it would work for me, trying to find loopholes. And so I was like, hey, I'll do everything that it says for me to do. And, you know, I haven't found a loophole yet, because everything that everything that it says to do, it also says, you know, the promises don't just come after the ninth step. There is promises after every single step. You know, if you really read the big book, there's promises after the fifth step. You know, we will be able to know that there's a higher power there, and we'll be able to have the feeling of, you know, like brotherhood, like of being connected to another human being, you know. And those were things that all happened for me. I don't have a book in front of me, so I'm not quoting it, you know, perfectly. But, you know, doing the fourth step and looking at my part really helped me see that, you know, these resentments, I had them, and some of them were fancied and some of them were real, you know. And I just wasn't a victim anymore, you know. And now, like, I really don't, I really, in the tenth step, I really just, you know, continue to take my own inventory, because it's all I have power over anyway, you know. Is my side of the street. And so, you know, I took a fifth step and sixth step and seventh step, you know, and I have to say that I've had a complete psychic change, you know, since I've done the steps, and that's one of the promises. And that's, you know, and a lot of people, you know, these are but only suggestions, but if you want what this program has to offer, because the program is the 12 steps, if you want what it has to offer, then there are a few requirements, and the requirements are to do the steps. And that's what's worked for me, and I've been sober 6 years. I just celebrated May 25th, and it's amazing, because I would, when I was new in sobriety, I would go to people's anniversary meetings, and I'd see people pick up chips, and, you know, like, people speaking for other people and all this, like, connection, you know, and I'm just like, man, like, I really want that. Like, I was just so lonely, and I felt so alone in the world and unlovable, you know. I just felt so worthless. And at my anniversary, you know, I had people show up, and people, like, were sharing about how much I've helped them, you know, people that I don't even really know, that know me, that have shared, you know, that I'm this or that to them, and I've helped them in this or that way. And I'm just like, I don't know, it's just such a miracle, because I never thought that I could be this person, you know. And the program has also helped me, like, follow my dreams. And my dream is, you know, to be a good mother, to be sober. And I also wanted to go to school, you know, and study art. And I wanted to become an art therapist. That's what I want to do. And I've always wanted to do that ever since I was a teenager. And my parents didn't think that was a very bright idea. And so I never believed in myself to do that. But now that I'm sober and have a whole new family now, a whole different belief system of, like, faith in good things that are going to happen for me, you know? Like, I thought God hated me. I thought God wanted me to be alone. I thought God wanted me to be, like, miserable, you know? But that was not working for me. I had to change my concept of a higher power because that was not working for Samantha, you know? And it was just really cool when I realized, I think that was like a really cool part of my sobriety when I realized I could believe in a good higher power, not a bad one, you know, something that loves me. And now I believe that, you know, I'm not supposed to be miserable, you know, I'm not supposed to be unhappy. It's not going to be these horrible chain of events that always happen to me that cause calamity, and I'm allowed to be happy for like a week or something, and that's it, you know. It's not like that anymore. So I'm really honored that I'm here, and I'm honored to be speaking for your meeting. And I've been kind of in a bad place the past couple of days because this person I was traveling with turned out to be kind of just a crazy situation, and I'm here in Montreal by myself now. So I really appreciate you being here, and thank you for bringing me here. So that's all I have to share.